Because Boogeyman's fearless about sacred cows like Marcus Allen. We need that.
Yeah, that's true. It's like a mongoose. Go ahead, Boogie.
Okay, was there a question there, or
yeah, what is your view about what Marcus Allen's agenda is? What do you think he's trying to do?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Uncle Vigilante and Boogeyman. I mean, like, what sure. you dislike the guy? It's like, come on, just spit it out. Come on,
spit it out.
I'm
pretty shy when it comes to this kind of discussion, so I'll be meek and humble until Boogeyman's done. Then I'll jump on it.
Sure. Cool.
Just a few minutes ago, I pretty much summed up my take. If you want to go back and listen to it, I just said
come on, man. Just say it again. Okay. Say it again. I didn't hear it properly.
Okay. Basically, I think he's just a pathological liar. I don't think he's like a paid gatekeeper, per se.
No.
I think at best he's a pathological liar, and at worst he has some mental issues.
Right.
So that's my take at this point. And like I told Ab last week, after listening to his latest audio, it's only about 30 minutes, I realized that I'd have to go with the mentally ill conclusion at this point. So I don't want to pick on him too bad, but he's done this to himself. So
do you want to give an example?
Something, I don't know.
You want to give an example?
Example of him being a liar or crazy? Which one?
What'd you say? Pathological liar? Wasn't that the words? Or
why not? It could be. I mean, it seems as if he's a pathological liar. Someone who's listened to him for over 10 years, off and on.
Yeah, but you want to give a specific example?
Well, the most infamous one right now is that he claimed to be a pilot, and he hasn't addressed that at all. So, there's that.
Yeah, that did seem to scare him off, didn't it, when you kept raising that?
Yeah, even though he didn't mention it. As a reason why, but yeah, he definitely tucked his tail.
Well, why did he mention that?
Marcus, we're all interested in that.
Because he's an example of being a pathological liar. It wasn't necessary if you go and listen to the conversation that he was having with Paula Gloria and Rosalie Grable. He just interjected that to give himself some credibility, I assume, but. Like, that's an example of something a pathological liar would do. They lie when they don't even have to. Unsolicited lies.
Mm.
So, that's an example.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Pal. Yeah. I wasn't sure if he was joking or not in that conversation. Cause you think it was, pathological. Yeah. I thought it was a bit of a,
Marcus' life, he didn't say maybe he's not Marcus' life, is a pilot. So it could be revealing, couldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, even if it was a joke, it's like, I definitely, like, personally dislike that kind of attitude where, like, people, they like to play the, I wouldn't say it's a joker, but the liar. They like to play, like, the liar. That's kind of annoying. Anyway,
Uncle Vig, you got anything to add?
Yeah, I do. I would assess it, and don't start laughing. Let me finish. I would assess it that he has some daddy issues that I think his dad probably didn't give him a lot of attention. He was probably that kid who got taped in a locker, and he has really low self-esteem and self-confidence. And so he behaves this way in his little protected cocoon because his words and his writing and his gotcha approach, he is all about trying to set traps for people so he can say gotcha to be able to claim, you know, to be able to put those bullies back in their own locker. And so I totally think it's not mental illness. I just think the dude, his dad, you know, probably gave him not a lot of positive attention.
Mm.
Tell me I'm wrong.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. Yeah. A lot of people, it goes back to your parents. I agree.
100%. I was with my dad recently. Yeah. His 89th birthday, and he slid into dementia. It just breaks my heart. But he was a very, very strong man, strong family man, always encouraged us to be the best we could be, gave us our own self-confidence. And I can't imagine living a life differently, where if I had a dad that just, you know, maybe mocked me or didn't give me proper attention or love or self-confidence. So, you know, usually all of us, you know, we all have mental issues. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we all have our own shit. But what's that?
It's called clay in the Bible. When you know, when you just grow up, you start off as a, you know, a pretty good guy.
Yeah,
and
right.
And by the time you've got to your 40s, you are covered in clay.
Yeah, I used to be a nice guy, believe it or not. I used to be very nice. I am
well,
still
what
happened. People
covered
like
in clay.
Play stupid who are not stupid get on my nerves.
Marcus, did he?
Well, like when I come in, right? As soon as I come in, Rolo calls me a nigger, right? So it's like things like that that set me off. That, like, you know, I don't really have any patience with people like Rolo anymore. So, like, that's why the world, people like Rolo who just drink themselves through it and think they can say whatever, regardless if it makes sense or not, those type of people are why I am the way I am now. Because I don't care whether I'm mean or not. Like, I used to care. Now I don't give a shit.
That's interesting because, like, I find myself, like, still attached to my original temperament. I think you can call it a temperament. And I definitely don't have a mean streak. And I find it hard to exhibit a mean streak.
Well, this comes from...
the belt into the radio.
Well, I do like to belch. Yeah,
parents have temper issues too. So,
no, well, like I'm just—it's interesting, like the way that you put it, like that you changed. Like I definitely changed. But yeah, maybe you're right. My temperament changed from one that was open and honest to maybe a bit more closed. But I never gained a mean streak. Which is something that I always wanted. I always wanted because I always was friends with people who had a mean streak. I always admired that.
And they always got the girls.
No, not all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
They always rejected the girls as well. They always, not in a gay sense, like they always had the high end mightiness to say no. To pussy.
Right.
Well, like they
pussy.
Well, they had more self-respect for themselves, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like a kind of it's a trait that I always admired, but I never gained it. And now I'm in a position where I have to be a bit more authoritarian with people, and it is hard, but it actually you can do that without being mean. You know?
So, Uncle Vidge, I think you're kind of letting them off the hook a little bit. If you're not, you know, if it's not going to be mental illness, I mean, he's just, we have hours of audio of him contradicting himself. Even as late as his most recent audio, he's contradicting himself.
But you might be right about the pathological liar. So I was just trying to assess in my mind what it
why?
Is about
more about what who it, he is than why he is.
Yeah.
Right. That's fine. Yeah, it's a possibility. But yeah, I think it's more about like what he does than why he does it, you know, because only he can know his true motive.
Yeah,
but we do have hours of audio of proof of what we're talking about right now. So it's not like I'm just making this up.
Yeah.
If people always say, well, why would you listen to him so long if you don't appreciate what he's saying? Well, he was on Fakeologist a lot and he was on Hoaxbusters a lot. That's where I heard him. You know, I never
for the most part, didn't go after his audios. I did listen to his Truth in 7 Minutes website.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
in my case, he was the guy that really first sort of made me think about straightforward stuff like the shape of the earth and so on. He was the first guy that I heard that had just a completely different view about how the world operated.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that.
Yep.
He was one of the first people that actually had like a structured audio talking about no planes on 9/11.
Hey, but he got that wrong, by the way. He got that wrong. And I'll tell you why. Because I have done some research this last week. And what I realized is that 9/11 was truly the first case of who's ruffling something? I can't talk. Whoever's ruffling papers, please.
Baby.
But 9/11, it was all about the first case of COVID. I think they fell because of COVID. I think they had a virus.
What?
I think you're being funny, but that one, that landed like a lead balloon, Vigilante. Go back, fire that writer immediately.
You know what? I feel good about it. I think it's funny, but it'll take you guys a while to catch up, but you'll use it sometime.
All right. I think it's good. Like people can be wrong. You know what I mean? Like it's not.
Of course.
Yeah. Like I always found like Marcus those talk show audios. I mean, I always found him like actually, to be honest, a little bit honest sometimes. You know, like about who he is and stuff. Like,
well, that's what a liar does. They have to give you some truth in order for you to bite down on their lie sandwich.
Sure, but I never. It's like I'm not like trying to make a hero of him or anything.
I'll give you another example, buddy. I'll give you another example. When he says that, 98% of the people you encounter in this so-called truth movement are like shills. Like they're not to be trusted, basically, right?
Yeah.
I've heard him say that.
He's said that many times, right? But on his latest audio, he's like, oh, what's the big deal? Why is everyone so paranoid? Like, everyone is just so, you know, it's like, well, what do you mean? You're the one who's started this whole everybody is a shill thing. So
isn't that just a change of opinion kind of thing? You know, like, I mean, I wouldn't say that's like a kind of like a complete, you know, scandalous lie.
He does contradict himself in the same sentence a lot of times, and he admits it. He said that.
No,
he's
like a chameleon, a convenient chameleon. He'll change based upon.
Exactly. That's the whole point. The people that have been listening to him for years understand this.
Yeah.
Clear as day.
No doubt he has his back against, the wind. Like that is his personality. Like I have no doubts about that. Like,
well, the fact that he's come and gone from his own show so many times. I'm going to do a daily show. Never does it. I'm going to do a weekly show. Doesn't do it. I'm going to do a show with Ab. Now I don't like it because we're not getting enough feedback. Well, you just started. Oh, now I'm getting too much negativity. Now there's too much drama. That goes on. He's like Woody Allen, I swear.
I told you.
Woody Allen.
He has no self-esteem. Thus, his skin is like you can see his blood vessels through.
Which brings me to my third example. And this is another thing that he's recently said. Like, you remember a couple weeks ago when he had the "Do you like Marcus?" button on his website that he told us about?
Oh, yeah.
But on his latest audio, he said he doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks, though. Like,
right.
So, which is it, dude? Like, you just 2 weeks ago, you had a button on your website saying, "Do you like me?"
Wow, I'm so glad I don't pay attention to him.
It's terrible, but someone's got
my "Do you like me" button is an Epic Cash QR code. Do you
right? If you're like gonna have a do you like me button, you need to have a do you not like me button.
Yeah, Well, YouTube got rid of their dislike counter, but they still have the button.
Would you punch me if you could?
Right, yeah, put one of that, but that's too far, right? Like, that's what I said, like, this dude may be dealing with mental issues, so me punching him in the face isn't going to solve anything. It's going to make me look an asshole.
Rick and Rollo.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah. I mean, he has a marketing mindset, and there's definitely something I think for a
you
lot of people.
You ever hear Bill Hicks on marketing? Can we play that clip?
No. Like, just saying though, it's like I think marketing is one of those things, like a tax collector. It's like
exactly
people. Well, but it's like, but it's like people don't understand the mentality of it, so they tend to look upon it with like great despair and like dishonesty, where it's like, I don't know, I tend to think that, like, you know, that is
all
an aspect
on what you're marketing,
but it's an aspect of life, you know.
It all
depends like
on what you're selling. You don't have to sell the reality on the ground. The reality is the reality.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like these things like marketing, these things like tax collection, accountants, they exist, you know. Like, I
that's
go to
the
my
thing. You have to, if you're going to say no one was, the lower Manhattan is blocked off, then you need to provide some evidence for that outside of just telling me there were drills, right? Like, there needs to be something of substance there.
That's right. And like, I mean, I probably disagree with you on the whole 9/11 thing, but like, I won't go that far out and say that, but some people will. And it's like, that's to their own.
No, I don't think we do.
That's to their own dimension.
Do you agree with this? That they fake
it? No. Hold on. It's to their own detriment. It's to their own detriment. It's to their own detriment.
What I do want to hear from you, BB, is what do you think Marcus' agenda is?
I honestly think
what's his key? What's his key message? What's he trying to say?
He's just a family man, and he's bored, and he's an atheist, and he's kind of lost in this kind of existential.
His message used to be.
Hold on. Whoa. He is in an existential crisis. That is what I get from it. And the moment that I moved on from existential crisis, he stopped being relevant to me.
Okay. So, but like, that's your take on him. Oh. But what his message is, it used to be his main message was there's nothing to worry about. Like, there's no boogeyman like lurking in the shadows to get you. Like, you can do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, that used to be his take, which I can appreciate because, yeah, there is no terrorist lurking in the shadows, like willing to try to take your freedoms. You know what I mean? Like, that's just all in your head. So I can appreciate that part of his message.
I think for sure. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like there are real threats out there. So it's like,
Marcus switches from there are real threats to there aren't real threats. There are real threats. There aren't real threats.
Exactly. He might be crazy, yo. He might just be crazy. There might not be an agenda behind it.
You know what? You just hit on something that just triggered something for me. You used the word relevant, and I think that is what he craves more than anything on this planet is relevancy, and so he seeks that. However, he has to pivot, he needs to be relevant. What's that?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. And it's like, if he actually does crave relevancy, it's like he's going to have to find that thing that moves him into a bigger and more mature kind of like person. Right? It's like, because at the moment,
Frank,
it's like.
Frank knows how you find relevancy.
Yeah, like, I mean, put it this way, right? It's like, you know, he is somewhere between the line Boogeyman just mentioned before of there's no threats out there and then there is threats out there. To me, that indicates that it's someone who hasn't like entirely made up their mind with this stuff. And I mean, the world's your oyster. You need to go find exactly what that is. Because I've made up my mind about a lot of things, and that's why he stopped being relevant to me. You know?
Right.
And I'm kind of intrigued by it all because, you know, in my mind...
I feel the same way, in a sense.
Right.
But in my mind, he's moved the discussion of a lot of topics forward years fairly quickly with his truth in 7 minutes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, I wish then I had most of those audios. Yeah.
And then he bailed out. In fact, it was a dispute with me that caused him to shut his show down. It was over the Ed Chiarini, Dennis Goldberg stuff. Yeah, he got because I had a fight with Kayham about Dennis Goldberg, that was drama, and so the guy bailed out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting because it's like, what is he, right? Like, he's a middle-class person. He's a, you know, I'm struggling to really think of, like, the words, but it's like somewhat of a venture capitalist trying to, like, make bucks with his brain and, like, his know-how and that kind of thing. And it's like, I mean, I can go speak to someone in real life who has that perspective. So it's like, well, what does he really have to offer other than like these amazing things that he's so-called brought forth before us anyway? Yeah,
he also says he has no friends and, you know, he's invited all these people to come and meet him and no one does. But that's completely not the case. You know, he's gone to a lot of effort to hide his identity, to make sure that no one finds out who he is and where he is, and you know, you can't meet the guy, you can't meet up with him. He's gone to a lot of effort to avoid meetups.
Sure. I mean, I'd honestly like to speak to the guy, but like I'm busy myself. But at the same time, it's like what's really there that I don't already have to some extent. I mean, yeah, he was out there talking about stuff because it seemed like at the time that it was something that he needed to talk about. That was what I got from the talk show audios, right? It was like someone is out there not really like making much money from it at all, but just enjoying something because there was a passion stirring there. That's for a lot of, I think, for lack of a better word, truthers. I think there is like a desire to like fill a void. And it's like, that's what I witnessed when I listened to his stuff. He was filling a void.
Yeah.
He couldn't speak to people in real life, perhaps. I don't know. But when I go down to the bar, it's hard to speak to people as well. Is it not? Is it not for everyone else here?
No, it's not for me. I have a great time now talking about, you know, that
person.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a sanguine temperament. So like it is easy for me to make friends with people, right? If you don't know what a sanguine temperament is, it's someone who is probably more joyous, more happy to, engage regardless of, who someone is. So it's like, yeah, for me, that comes easy, you know, whereas like, I mean, what is Marcus Allen? He sort of seems a bit melancholy. Like, that's the way that I view things. So it's like.
Yeah, depressed. Depressed.
Well, not. Yeah, well, depressed. I mean, perhaps melancholy has like, say, like, all the temperaments they have parts of it that enlighten your temperament. And then there are some which increase your vices. And it's like, unfortunately, with melancholic behavior, it's like you are somewhat prone to, depressive attitude. That may not be him. I mean, I don't know really the guy, but it's like that's what I really drum it up to. I couldn't go out there and say.
So can I ask you, do you think he is a genuine character? Do you think the way he presents himself is an accurate reflection of who the guy really is?
I think he is.
I think he is. If you go on to YouTube, you can find people who aren't genuine about their who they are and that kind of thing.
What do you think, Whereas, Frank?
I'm on the fence. My, as I said, I often get the feeling that he is Tony Greenberg.
See, and that's the thing with liars. You can never trust what they say. That's my whole point. It's like, he's just a fucking liar, so you might as well just throw everything he says out the butt. Now, if I had to say, yeah, he's probably just a regular person. But I don't trust him because he's a liar. So, like, I don't trust,
Him because he's alive or because he's a liar, you think?
No, I don't trust him because he's a liar. Like, if I had to bet one way or the other, I would say he's just a regular crazy person. But I don't know because he lies so much. He could be, he clearly.
Yeah, in that case, at this stage, you're of the view that he's a genuine person that lies.
Yeah, like a pathological liar with maybe some other underlying mental issues.
And then if you meet him in the real world, he will be as you think of him.
Yeah, I think he would be the same, have the same disposition. Yeah, the same.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an act, right? Like, I don't think Biden's acting like that. The old, like, I don't think he, like, I mean, if he's acting.
I don't
he's
either.
Really, really good actor. Like, holy.
I don't think he's acting. I think he's acting. I think Biden's acting.
I don't think so.
I think
they're putting a stupid old man up there, and he's basic. And every now and then he blurts out what's really on his mind, especially the with the girls.
How old are you, baby? A hyper-realistic mask on. The only way it can act is if it's not really him that we're observing, right?
Yeah, I think that's possible.
No, that's possible too. But I think it's the I think he's the real deal. I think they wanted somebody to come across as incompetent and stupid, as a contrast to the cocky, cocksure Trump, because they really wanted to inflame a division. They really do want a civil war.
Anomaly? What do you say about the ear anomaly? His earlobe.
Well, I think there's two Bidens for sure. There's definitely two Bidens.
So two real Bidens? There's no way one's fake.
Yeah, maybe one's real, one's fake. One's got the hyper realistic. Maybe Jim Carrey's under there.
You don't mean it's like a clone of like Biden, right?
No, I think it's Jim Carrey with the mask. Because those hyper realistic masks are absolutely crazy good.
Yeah,
I've seen them. They're crazy. I watched them peel it off. The whole bodysuit. How anyone could get into one of those. Hey, BB, you're making a lot of noise. Those things are crazy. Crazy good.
Yeah, that's scary. That's some creepy shit. For sure.
It is crazy. It is. It's crazy. I know. And we only, like, the last thing they did with Biden this week with the red background and make him look like the devil. And, oh, it's just.
I didn't see that one.
These guys are. Oh, you got to go watch that. It's. The way they made him look like, when you say these things, Zab,
like you think there's a double, I mean, to me, you're telling me that the guy's not a genuine guy. It's an act.
Well, you can't have
a genuine guy and someone who's got a double. I don't see how that's working.
Yeah, I know. I'm conflicted. But I still think there are two Bidens. And they might have just switched them out a couple of years ago. I don't know what I'm watching.
Oh, do you
the guy now that the mumbling, bumbling guy, I think is him. Where he says, they both, hey, baby, well, I mean, how old are you?
Coherent? I haven't seen one in a long time.
Yeah, I think it's been, I think when he went in the basement, they might could have switched him. He was in the basement for a year. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that, but I.
Well, that's what we were told, that he was sequestered. He wasn't making appearances during the presidential campaign because of COVID.
And when
he did, there was five people there where Trump was doing the opposite. Trump was being the reckless one that had the big rallies. And now they're pivoting this last 2 weeks where, okay, Trump did bring out the vaccine, and because he rushed it, it's killing people. So they pivoted. I mean, it's crazy. These guys are just, they can just pivot on a dime. Because if one narrative doesn't work, they just bring out a new one because they're just trying to sow incredible division.
Yeah. So like we have footage of him like sitting down talking where like the background like outside doesn't match the reality of the White House, right? So if he's not so in the White House, what do you guys think is actually going on in the White House? If he's not in there, no.
Well, the United States has been occupied for a long time by, I would say, the European nobility forces. They're running the place. They're taking advantage of the Christian goodwill of Americans. You know, slap me once, shame on you. Slap me twice, shame on me. I really think the whole Christian ideal of the United States is just an open invitation for abuse. Like, come abuse me. Come take over my country. Come run me right out. Come shoot me up with drugs. Come kill me.
Do you think so the decisions are being made from the Pentagon? You think that's where the real movers and shakers?
No, I think they're captured as well. I think the CIA is the intelligence agencies for the black nobility, for the royalty, for the Europeans. These guys with trillions of dollars. They are running this world into the ground. This is their end game right now.
Do you don't think the people that they hired are in the Pentagon, like the managers? Like, you don't think that that's where the operations?
The prop ranchers, I have no fucking idea.
Hey, it's SMJ. Hello.
I agree.
Is that SMJ?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I most certainly don't have any idea, like, what's going on in the Pentagon. Or the White House, for that matter. That's why I asked. Maybe if you guys had an idea, like, what you think's going on in these buildings, if Biden's not in there, you know, like, what's actually, who's in there? Like, what's going on?
Tourists are in there, and there's a television studio, a few of them.
You say a
television studio outside, too.
And there's a bowling alley.
That makes sense that it's just a tourist attraction. It's like a Potemkin village, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's in there shuffling through nuclear bomb secrets.
I think it's a BTC conference, which has been totally compromised. I think that Ab is right that I mean, we have been captured forever, and ultimately, you know, we just aren't what we think the United States is. You know,
some people think it was over in 1812, like it just lasted.
Yes. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, 40 years or whatever.
Now this is just worldview shit here, but, I think Frank, you'd agree with me. I think that this is a seed war, and it began, eons ago. And, it is just about bloodlines, and these Druid Babylonian bastards who are running the world are demonic forces.
That is exactly what I think, and they've come to that conclusion simply because the model works.
Yeah.
You know? And if I get a better model to explain,
there you go,
the devilry. Fine, but I haven't got a better model at the moment. That's all.
Yeah, and like has been said many times, it's like just because you don't believe in the devil doesn't mean these people running the world don't believe in
it.
Right. Exactly.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's a very good point.
They're playing the devil. They're playing the role.
Yeah.
No, they're playing the role because they know that most Christians and believe in the devil. So they've assumed the role.
Yeah. So your view, Ab, is that the way that I think is creating the devil.
Yeah.
Hey, so
what would you recommend, I think, instead to undevil me?
I don't know, but SMJ wants to say something.
Like Alex Jones would say, it's the globalist.
I tell you a story. It's almost September 11th again.
Yeah,
go for it.
Gentlemen,
real quick. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I got to drop my dog off, and then I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
Okay, we'll say hi to the groomer. Say hi to the groomer.
Right, see you guys.
God. We needed that.
I sent the video to Ab. I wanted him to get Tiago to watch it on air. Well, it's
where'd you send it? Wait, where did you send it?
Is that message that got messed up? That I tried to send you when you're on air.
Maybe you were in an old you were in an old chat or something because the chat window changed to the new.
Hi, I'm just a gal.
Top Notch Energy's Dr. Fuster Clark.
Gord from Manitoba.
Fake Egg from Sweden.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, what I'm doing from now on is when I start the show, I'm putting the date in the chat so you know you're in the right chat. I don't know how the chat needs work. I don't know where you were, but I didn't see it till I don't know how I found it later. But
it's a video from a chess guy in Brazil.
Okay.
And you've heard of Gary Kasparov, right?
Oh yes. He's very political now.
I've heard, and Gary Kasparov was a huge star when I was a child.
Well, in 1995, he was in the World Chess Championship game.
Yeah,
it started on September 11th. You know where they had it?
Right.
You know where they had it?
Wasn't it in New York or something?
It was Windows of the World.
Yep. They had it at of the World Trade Center.
World Trade Center, yeah.
Windows of the World.
Started on September 11th. They played all day. They played all day, eight games. Then they came to the ninth. And it's a famous game. Kasparov sacrificed his rook.
I remember that story, yeah.
Do you know what a rook is?
Yes, I do.
In Portuguese, they call it a torre. It's a tower.
So a tower. It is a tower on the chessboard,
That's the word they used. Italians.
And you think it's connected? That's ridiculous.
He sacrificed his torre, his tower, at the top of the World Trade Center in the ninth game of a game that started up September 11th.
Nice.
Wow. And I think they drew the 10th, and then he brought both of his torres in the 11th game into the attack.
You can't use this in court to prosecute the perps of 9/11. So,
well, I'm not using it in court. We're not in court.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just telling you a story. If you're dumb enough to believe it, you can believe it.
No, I don't believe anything. You know that.
Ooh.
So hold on a sec. So
that's a great story.
So that is the story. I know chess well enough to play a little bit. I can't beat too many people, or I probably can't beat any computer. But the rooks really aren't a great player on the chessboard. I mean, the main thing is you gotta. The queen. You gotta get that queen dancing. When you get her dancing, you can just run roughshod. But
That's probably why he sacrificed the tower on September 11th at the top of the World Trade fucking tower.
Oh, yeah. That's a great story, though. That is a great one. Is that a video that you sent me then?
Yeah. I put it in live stream. I'm gonna get off here. I got to get off center on live stream. I just want to tell that story.
Why are you going?
I appreciate that.
Why are you going?
I got to try to get some work in before football games start.
Hey, Boogie, don't leave. We wanted to talk together. Right.
That's SMJ.
That's SMJ
that's
not SMJ. Is that SMJ? Yeah.
SMJ saying he was leaving, yeah.
Oh, I see now. They have some similar style or
they do have a similar speaking style, don't they?
Okay, I'm sorry. SMJ, nice to meet you again. Guys, I'm on a very loud place. I will go on mute and wait till I am home. Okay for you?
We can actually hear you perfectly, by the way, if you're interested.
Yes, you can hear me, but I cannot hear you very well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I must admit, it's like when you have a calendar that runs every year, it's like the coincidences of numbers and reoccurring events, definitely they shorten up and the odds become pretty increasing. It is interesting to hear, but at the same time, I don't really put any dollars on it. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about that. You know, we there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, so like you got the additional thing of a chessboard, and you have a rook, and then in Spanish they call it the tower. So it's like you see the leaps of logic. Like I am
exactly.
I'm just so over this
yes.
truther yes. mentality of like finding exactly. anything. You know, it's just
coming through, guys.
Picking shit. It's. I mean, it's
my work.
This is interesting story, but it's not going to get you anywhere as far as figuring out what happened.
Am I coming through, guys?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry. I was talking for an hour.
Oh, okay. We were just saying how I think maybe a few years ago I was definitely more interested in coincidences and how you could get like a one in a billion out of something, and now I'm kind of beginning to realize that my mathematics wasn't correct at all, because with you know not nothing I don't want to you know disregard SMJ, but like what SMJ is saying essentially is just like it's kind of like poetry in a sense. But it doesn't really have like a great deal of substance behind it at all. Like
Zachary Hubbard does. Like he puts these numbers together and creates these narratives, and it's like, okay,
it's great.
That's cool.
Very like, entertaining.
Cool. It's entertaining. Yeah, but
it's not gonna get you anywhere. Like,
yeah, if you look up September 11th on like Wikipedia or something, it's like look at the litany of events that have happened on that date. And if you look up January 11th, it's going to be the same. There's going to be a litany of events. No, like,
On any day of the week? Are you saying any day of the year is the litany of events?
I think any day of the week you're going to find stuff that is if it's important for you. And you see something there, you'll connect the dots very easily.
Listen, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, 9/11. There are many important days. And the meme that I saw in Dollar Vigilante last week is the world is ruled by symbols and signs, not by laws. And there's a lot to that. There really is. People really identify with symbols, signs, numbers. These are important to people.
No, they identify with law enforcement beating your head if you don't follow the order, or them taking your money if you don't pay your tax. Like, they will physically put you away. Like, that's what people respect.
Yeah, but that's the end of the line. But before that, we need to control them with signs and symbols and fines. And you know how many people are afraid of the fines?
Like hammer. That's how you control people, with a sword.
Yeah.
Or a bullet.
Oh, yeah, in the end, for sure. You don't argue with a guy with a gun.
In the beginning of this law, like, the laws need to be enforced, right? That's when it
begins. Or seen to be enforced. Yeah. Or seen to be enforced as well. They can't enforce one-on-one. They don't have one-on-one law enforcement yet. They really rely on mass compliance.
Now it's the cameras. It's like, oh, everyone's got a camera, so you best behave or you'll be.
Yeah, exactly. You know. You can't, like, I watched, you know, a lot of guys can identify. We used to pee wherever we could get away with it. Now there's some woman behind the bush with her iPhone pointed at you, and she's going to email it to your boss or your wife or whatever.
Right.
Everyone is an agent, and it's difficult. Yeah. And that's how the COVID thing has worked, by the way, especially with the medical community. They don't know who's on their side. Like, you could be there to snitch on them for not following the rules, and then they're going to lose their job.
That's a great
point.
They're afraid
of you.
That explains why everyone kind of just went along with it, right? It's like, who's watching? Like, you never know who's watching, so you might as well just toe the line and do what you're told.
Like, if I walk into my doctor and say, hey, I'm not wearing a mask coming in here. Is that okay with you? And if he said yes, then you might say, ah, I gotcha. I knew you were one of those guys that didn't care. Where, you know, you can't win. And that's why we're all in this pickle. We're all self-policing because we don't trust. Now we don't trust even our own mother because she might be in the COVID cult.
And that's to bring it back to Marcus Allen. I feel like that's what he was doing. If you would have asked me a year ago, I would say, yeah, like he is planting the seed of distrust amongst well-intended folk, and I think that's bad.
It is hard, and that this happened this week, and this is why I was scolding Rollo for hopefully trying to start following some truth stuff so we can bring some information to each weekly show. And that is, there's an Indian woman named Purnima Wah, I think that's her name, and I didn't even watch the video yet, and then right away people were attacking her character, saying she made up her degree, she's a fraud, she's a phony. So now I got to act. Now I have to watch the video to see what she was talking about. But I think she's on our side when it comes to the virus and how what makes you really ill, that kind of thing. But she was character assassinated so fast this week that I didn't even have a chance to watch the original video. So yeah, there's a war going on.
I must admit, like, this is probably like a good place to interject in a sense of. There will always be a rule of law. I don't think that, you know, let's take free speech as an example. People will always police themselves, even their speech. I think what matters really is like, what is the rule of law going to be? You know, is it something that you want or is it something that is right? I guess that's like the pertinent kind of question when it comes to that kind of thing. Should you wear a mask in public? Is that considered a safe thing to do living in a civilization? You know, like I've got no problem with self-policing. It's just what's actually going to be the law that people police themselves over, you know?
Well, we know at the moment the law is going to be, the legal system, not the law. It's going to be about the idea that carbon dioxide kills you, that it's a poison, that you should freeze to death because you don't burn coal anymore. You know, there's no end to what's going to, the misery that's going to be inflicted under the upcoming regime.
There is that stuff, but it's like on a, I feel like the mask thing for a lot of people is something that, is actually like, it out of the Truther movement, it creates like somewhat of a visceral response.
Because it is proven to be dangerous and stupid.
Well, sure, but like with CO2 and stuff like that, it's so far out of our grasp. But it's like when people are self-policing, say, Ab's example before about like, you know, peeing in public, it's like, I mean, I guess that's a good thing to some, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
why is it a problem to go and pee? It's mad.
Well,
it's
I mean,
picking up dog shit. It doesn't make any sense.
But you don't want to piss somewhere where people are walking, right? You don't want that to.
Let's think about what goes on instead. Hold on.
The dog shit thing. Like, we established.
I know that you're a fan of it all, but I'm not.
I know, but If you're going to be walking your dog and your dog shits on someone's property, then you have the obligation to pick it up. That's my point.
Okay, so
fine.
I simply am just going to simply say this. Dog shit is fertilizer. And don't panic, it's organic.
Yeah, that's not, like, you have to respect other people's property and wishes, right? So it's like if they don't want it, then you have to get it up. And 9 times out of 10, they're not going to appreciate it. So
that is true.
Let me continue.
Figure out a way to incorporate.
Let me continue on then.
A garden.
The idea of how your property is affected by dog shit is an emotional one and not a rational one.
Exactly. And they're going to react to you in an emotional way if you don't pick it up.
And the reason that that happens is because people are being fed stuff that's not true as part of their education, like germ theory.
I agree. In a perfect like carbon dioxide. Could like just
so,
let
so the issue, you wouldn't the have issue to, is that we are have are in a pre, in a system of deception, and because people are ignorant of reality of the of God's world, because they are totally deceived, then any moral or legal system is always going to be a fail. Has to be a fail. Because it's not based on reality. It's not true that stepping in dog shit causes instant death. It's actually true that dog shitting on your lawn will promote the growth of the lawn. That's actually true.
Hey, Frank.
But at what cost, right? At the cost of your little kid running in it?
I don't know about you, but I actually stood in dog shit or fell in dog shit. Who knows how many times? I don't even. I've lost count.
Yeah, but that's you, man. Like people don't want their kids rolling around in dog shit.
But hang on. This is what happens instead: is that people go with a plastic bag, pick up the dog shit, put it in the bin. It goes to landfill. It's a total waste of phosphorus, of nitrogen, of everything that's in that dog shit that's useful. Instead, what you're doing by picking it up and putting it in a plastic bag, putting in the bin and burying it in landfill is wasteful and stupid. And if anything
if anything is detrimental
to humanity, it's picking up dog shit and putting in a plastic bag. That is completely stupid.
Can I talk?
Yes. Hi, Todd.
Hey, I'm back like a good rash. So I have a PhD in dog shit, because I have three.
Yeah, congratulations.
I have three. You guys know that I have probably the world's most famous children's hospital therapy dog, Sammy Pop, on Instagram. Look him up.
I've seen it.
And he is huge. My German Shepherd's huge. They take huge shits. So I will tell you, I use the if everyone did it rule. And I think, Frank, if everyone who has dogs walked their dogs and took a shit wherever and nobody ever picked it up, what would my neighborhood be like? It would be shitty. And I agree with you on the benefit of dog shit. And I will say personally, I have two areas to my backyard, a smaller fenced-in area where my dogs can run. They shit, and then I scoop it up, and I throw it over on the other side. So I personally am not picking it up in a plastic bag. But when I go out and walk them, and he shits in a neighbor's yard, mine don't shit on sidewalks, but a lot of people, their dogs shit on sidewalks, and it pisses me off because they don't pick it up. If everybody did it, it would be a shitty world. If we extend it to us humans and out and about, if everybody, you know, pissed in wherever they wanted and shit wherever they wanted, it would be like downtown Denver, which is the capital of homeless now, where all you have when you walk through there is the smell of piss and shit. And so I believe
San Francisco too.
Let me take you to another world, Todd. The reason that we end up like this is because we build cities like we do. The whole
We're already here. So let's not do that. All right.
Downtown Denver is the capital? I never heard that before. That's a new.
It's the capital of shit and piss smell.
That's a great point, Uncle Vig. Like, if no one picked it up in my neighborhood, there would just be shit everywhere. There'd be nowhere for me to walk my dog or me.
Or your kids to play. Or your kids to ride their bike. And I don't know, Frank, maybe you like wallowing and
No, he just likes saying ridiculous shit. That's what he likes, man. That's just ridiculous.
Let me talk. When I step in shit, I don't like it, and I quickly go clean it off because it stinks and I don't want to carry it into the house. Not because I'm afraid of a shit boogie virus, but because it's shit. I would, you know, I would never reach it. Sometimes I'm tempted if I have a really
good. You shouldn't have to explain this, but that's the type of thinking we're dealing with here. Like very right on the tip of his own nose. He can only think about what he thinks, not like what's actually going on in the world. Just what he thinks. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't have to spell this out. Like it's
hold on a second, Boogeyman. Let me take you back to the world of my childhood.
No, after the break. Here, 2022.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Buck Cherry from Cincinnati, Ohio, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
What a packed up crowd.
We're getting to the key issues.
Saturday, September 3rd, we've got Ab the Fakeologist, that's me, an ounce of salt per day, that's Frank. We got Babette, we got BB, we got Boogeyman, we got Mism, we got Rolo and Uncle V. What a packed house.
So we're talking about dog shit, everybody's listening, and I'm putting forward the view that the dog shit picking up brigade has gone too far.
What's the Mark Twain quote about civilization? Is that civilization is like the, you know, endless unnecessary necessities? Something along those lines.
Somebody look it up. Quote. Somebody look it up. Help them out. I know what you're talking about, but I don't
know. Well, remains that my childhood was not filled with people running around picking up dog shit. So why is it now?
Because we're more refined.
More refined. In what way are we more refined?
People have dogs now. Like, I mean, back then, like, dogs were just like you had a
just
dog.
Around.
Like,
they're just around.
Yeah. Like, I mean, now if a dog.
Now they walk their dogs in strollers and they call them their fur babies.
Yeah.
That's why society is going down the toilet because
that's just the woke tards.
So
but there's this more way. Of them, Uncle V. There's more of them.
Put it this way. I'll put something. Go for it.
Found the quote. Civilization is a limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessity or necessaries. Sorry, I just butchered that.
That's pretty relevant.
A limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessaries.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put something out a bit controversial. It's not controversial, but is there anything that, and I'll start off, is there anything that anyone here has enjoyed about COVID, like the changes? And one of the enjoyments that I've had is that public toilets are clean at the moment. And they never were beforehand.
Not bad.
I will give you one. For 22 years, I on Monday I would fly up to Manhattan and come back Thursday, or I'd fly up Tuesday and come back Friday. I did that for 22 years. When COVID hit, all of a sudden it was like, oh shit, what is Zoom? And now that I have Zoom, for the first time since 2019, in November, early November, I'm flying back to Manhattan for the very first time. And I can tell you, I have had such an amazing, different quality of life, not having to go through the freaking airports every single week and deal with the people and the filth and the agita. And so that is something, the advent that, hey, we can still be amazingly productive remotely. Is a huge win.
Right.
That's a huge win for Klaus Schwab, too, because he doesn't want you flying and burning fuel and polluting.
Fine.
Okay, so he did something positive.
No, I was asked, is there any positive that came out of it? And for me, it's the fact that I don't have the expectation from my boss that it is mission critical for you to put in FaceTime up here. And I used to have that. I used to felt totally compelled. Like, okay, I don't ever want to lose my job. So, honey, I got to do this shit. I'm sorry that I'm gone 4 days a week, but that's my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncle Vig, before you go, I have a question for you. I don't have to ask it now, but well, I guess since I have a chance, I'll ask it now. You've been to Lower Manhattan?
Yes.
Do you think that they blocked off all of Lower Manhattan and no one was there to witness what happened to the towers? Or do you think that there were people down there and they just pulled off a trick?
You know, I had never until this call had it proposed in my mind that it was blocked off. But what I can tell you from a personal standpoint, you know, I was driving from Stamford, Connecticut to Manhattan, to LaGuardia Airport when it happened. So I, from my car that was taking me, I saw the smoke and everything. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? But that's as close as I got, which was in a car a long way away. So I have no idea. And I've never heard that proposed. I mean, it sounds plausible. It sounds like.
I didn't know that story about you. I didn't know you were in the area. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I was the smart one. Because what I did is I immediately told my driver, take me to the Marriott that's by LaGuardia, because I'm like, there's not going to be any planes flying out of here.
Could you see the towers? Like, how far can you see the towers from, you know, like, I know you can see them from New Jersey in some spots, but.
I couldn't see the towers, but what I could see is the massive plumes of black smoke. And it was only one, because when I was going by, it was like 8:30 in the morning. And so I guess only the first one had hit, but all I saw is this massive black, you know, and I'm like, and then of course the limo driver turned on the radio and we're
like,
you're
familiar with the area. I'm asking you, how far away can you see the towers, right? I know SMJ said you could see them from Jersey City, which I know is not too far away.
It depends on the day. It was a beautiful day. It was like,
yeah, no clouds.
Stunningly blue. I remember that. That was my biggest
zero
takeaway.
Clouds in the sky. No clouds.
Yeah. No clouds.
Uncle Vigilante, may I jump in for some questions?
Sure. Go for it.
Hi, Uncle Vigilante.
Hello.
I know of you only that you are a finance person, which had some enterprise or what is
Epic
it called?
Cash.
Company. Yes, something big. But anyway, I don't know anything. I'm just interested in 9/11. And I wanted to ask you, you said it was about 12:30. Where did you start your drive and where did it go?
Or 8:30 or 9 in that area. It was after the first plane had hit. I started in
46.
After whatever happened, yes, okay.
My
question would be, you started at Stanford.
Stanford, Connecticut to LaGuardia.
Okay. And do you ever happen to compare what you saw with your eyes to what was shown to you on TV or in newspapers? Did you have a feeling it was different or was it the same?
Very good question. All I remember is huge blooms, black smoke that was going up.
Yeah, he just answered that like 2 minutes ago. He said that he didn't see anything but smoke.
That was not my question, Boogeyman. My question was if what he saw was compatible to what he was shown afterwards in newspapers, television, etc.
Didn't see anything, though.
To be fair,
yeah.
What I saw and going into solution mode once we turned on the radio, and I'm like, there's no way LaGuardia is going to have any planes leaving. Get me first to the hotel, which thank God I did, because I couldn't get out of Manhattan for 3 days. I had to end up having a limo take me down to Philadelphia to get a flight back to Tampa.
Oh, so people were trapped in Manhattan as opposed to not allowed to go to Manhattan. Interesting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. There's millions of people down there. Oh, there's no one down there to see what happened.
But you have to understand
not what happened.
You have to understand me some. Of course, once I got into my hotel room, I turned on the TV, and you know, it took me more than a decade to even question 9/11. So I was just under the spell like everyone else. So what came on the
TV? He was down there, and he experienced. There's people down there, so he didn't have a reason to question it. Like you clowns that never been to Manhattan.
Come on, people just a minute, Boogie. Don't be
calm
slow.
Down, Boogeyman. I'm not calm down.
About just here. One last question, people. Uncle Vigilante. One last question, because I don't know the area. Did you have a direct or indirect or partial view from your hotel to the WTC area?
No.
No. Okay. So you were only relied. You were relying afterwards on what was shown on TV.
Yeah, and look, I was scared like everyone else, and I was in my hotel constantly trying to reach my wife because the phone lines, of course, everyone's using their cell phones, so it was just overloaded, and I mean, it took me forever. So I was just in my hotel room making sure that my phone was charging while I was trying to get out because, of course, I mean, put yourself in the shoes of my wife. I had 3 young daughters at the time. They were afraid. They were totally afraid that, I mean, they didn't know whether I was in Manhattan at our offices or in Stamford, Connecticut at our remote office.
I have another last question. I'm sorry for that. From the time that you arrived in your hotel and until whatever, midday or afternoon, did you experience anything exceptional, for example, interruptions of electricity, shakings?
No.
You know, stuff that... No. Okay.
No.
Thank you very much, Uncle Vigilante. I'm not so interested in finances.
do you think... You said you didn't have a view of, like, ground zero from where you were, but...
I was looking right at LaGuardia Airport. I was right across in my
window. My question is, do you think there were other people that, like, lived down there, whether it be their apartment or work, do you think that had, like, a view of so-called ground zero?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean...
Yeah. Like, people that are, like, high up. Obviously not people on the ground, but people that are, like, in these other high-rise buildings, right? They would have a view.
Of course.
Right. And so they didn't fake the rubble. They couldn't fake all the rubble pile, right? Because like people could see. They couldn't obviously go to ground zero, but from a certain vantage point, if you're high enough, you can see what's going on. Right?
Yeah, I mean I believe that it was a controlled demolition, right? You're gonna have rubble.
Right. Yeah. Some people say that they faked all the rubble photos and the videos. All the videos fake.
Well, how in the hell did it go from 2 towers to literally nothing? Did David Copperfield do another magic trick in Manhattan? I mean, come on.
Well, that's what some people would like you to believe, that it was models. Some people say that it was they used miniature models of the towers, and what we saw on TV was that it wasn't what really happened.
Did they come in on 9/10 at night and pick up those 2 towers and just and put them on a truck and drive them away? That's ridiculous.
I know it doesn't sound ridiculous that all the amateur footage is fake as well, right? That's ridiculous because there were people down there. You can confirm there were people in Lower Manhattan during
you can't
and
confirm
after
he wasn't there. Where was the Marriott that you stayed in? It wasn't in Manhattan, was it?
No, it's LaGuardia. It's over in it's across.
Yeah, that's not Manhattan. Yeah, you weren't in Manhattan.
Didn't you say some people were trapped in Manhattan earlier?
I'm saying that they shut the airport down, and so there was no flights out for like, I believe it was 5 days. I finally, after 3 days, made the decision to take a limo down to Philadelphia to be able to fly out to Tampa.
And actually, I do believe there was an exodus from Manhattan. Do you remember Now, this might not be true, but the mass,
boats, yes,
the mass the people walking mass across ferry. The bridges. Yeah, no, the bridges too.
There were ferries.
People were walking
people
out
across the water.
Right, right. What, everyone was leaving the island because everyone thought if it could happen once, another alleged that, plane though. Could start driving into other planes.
All the people off yeah, of the that island. Was the...
Hey, they were walking over the bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge, the George Washington Bridge.
And you know who they were? I can confirm this. They were the people who worked in the American Express building, which was one of our clients. And I did speak to those people that they were like, we're getting the F out of here. And they, and they just mass exodus across the bridge. So
America was under attack.
Yes, a lot.
America was under attack. You remember that day? That was the message.
15 minutes. It's going to take hours for all of them to get off the island. They ferried people over for hours.
Yeah.
So
one thing that's always
too, the ferry's minor.
There were people down there to see what happened. You have a view. You could see the towers from Atlantic City.
Yeah.
So
they were brought down.
One thing that's always mystery to me is the incredible lack of footage. I think that like if you think about New York, every media outlet would have an office.
They all
there
shared the same signal because the tower had the broadcast. They all had to share the same signal because there was only one signal, so they shared it. Remember that was
the excuse. I'm going to send you an invite to my Discord, and you can see there's a lot of footage that you probably haven't seen, and it will answer those questions for you. Why there is footage?
Yeah, but I'm talking about.
Do you remember the official story?
Mountains. I've looked at this stuff before, though. It's like. Mountains of video, at least photos. I remember looking.
There's hundreds of photos, maybe even thousands. I don't know, but there's definitely hundreds of photos.
Hey guys, I can't remember. I can't remember back then. I remember all I had was a BlackBerry, which didn't capture photos, so their timing was excellent.
Right.
Because this day and age. Everybody would be recording it with their iPhone or Android.
Right.
And New York is a media center.
We have a lot
right?
more.
Like, New York is like every media outlet in the world has an office there. You know, not even media outlets.
Like
everybody
you said, a lot
has
of people
an
after
there.
The first explosion were like, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm not waiting to see what's going to explode next.
I can understand right? So that's for sure a factor. But I think that there are people who are actually more interested in getting photos and video. And
Todd, going back to Missam's earlier question, do you think the amount of smoke you saw matches the amount of smoke that was being shown on the video, on the TV?
It is really difficult for me to assess because on the horizon, I just saw a huge black plume of smoke. So I didn't sit down to process that. And then we started focusing on figuring out what the hell it was. And I'm wargaming what I want to do. And I didn't want to go to the
vertical
airport.
Uncle Vigilante, was it vertical or was it horizontal, the plume of smoke?
It went up and it curved. I mean, but not
and that's
a,
what you see in all the videos too.
May I say something, please? I'm trying to summarize one important point that I get from this discussion, just as an estimation, which I share, because I have also heard it from other sources. For example, Mary Lynch personnel. That was in Manhattan and New Jersey, about 2,000 people that were not in the WTC, but in other buildings have confirmed this also, that it is no way that the hypothesis that lower Manhattan was cordoned off and closed by military, that this could be correct. It is just a wrong hypothesis.
Exactly. Well, I've never heard that before. I don't know who's propagating that, but it sounds
FEMA drill.
Propagating that. App is propagating that.
That's right. There were FEMA drills that day, and the area was blocked off.
No,
you couldn't get in. And even Marcus Allen brought that up, that he knew people that couldn't get in there to go to work.
Yeah, but he just interviewed someone that said he was down there, though.
If Marcus said it, then I stand down because, you know, it must be gospel.
Exactly. No, he interviewed somebody. Then. Back after the break.
Yep. They wanna mask you like a criminal. They wanna keep me home and inside. They wanna mask you just like Hannibal. Immune resistance is gone.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
You can have my vaccination. You can have the change that it brings.
We're back, September 3rd, 2022. We've got a real cast of characters here.
I got about 5 minutes, but I call bullshit on that, Ab, because I know the people in the Amex building, you know, if it was all cordoned off, you know, those people would not have been at work. They wouldn't have been able to get to work.
Where is the Amex building exactly, please?
This is going to be a golden clip.
It's like, right? Next to
You're breaking up.
Oh, that's funny. He's breaking up right when he's about to.
Stop. He's probably getting close to his house. Whenever he gets near his house, his Wi-Fi grabs the signal.
A couple of. Yeah, I'm in it. Yep, you're right. Yes. No, it's two city blocks from 9/11.
Okay, which way? Where exactly do you know?
It would be to the east.
Okay.
Do you know the exact address?
You know what? Do the research. I'm not.
Okay.
How can you ask me that question if I know the exact address? Jesus Christ.
Because it were your friends and because you were working there. Well, I just thought you'd know it.
No, that's not a reasonable question. Not reasonable.
Okay. It's like 20
years ago. I know the exact address of Merrill Lynch, for example.
Figure out the
address. No, it's okay. Well, I'm sorry.
We are getting new data.
Research.
How good is this?
Do you know the deli?
Uncle Vigilante, I believe what you're saying. I'm not... I believe you, and that's why I thought we can verify it. And
I could care less if anybody believes. I could care less if people believe me or not. I didn't come to this call to be challenged about freaking 9/11.
You're not being challenged, but it's great. It's great. It's great info because we had no idea you were down in that area. That's fantastic. You're one of the fakeologists
confirming that there were people down there that day.
He hasn't confirmed anything.
Well,
he's just given his point of view.
No, but guys, you have to understand, I'm controlled opposition. I'm sure that's going to be what's going to come out. Right?
You're not controlled opposition.
Exactly.
You're not controlled opposition if you agree with Boogeyman.
Right, exactly.
If you agree with Boogeyman, you're not controlled.
Okay, can we take a little bit testosterone out of the discussion, please?
Come on, Mism. That's a bit harsh.
I'm sorry. You're right. But it's been very nice. It is confirming for you. Uncle Vig, please take the floor.
For me, it's another important...
People that I know that
are verified that were there. And now I have another point, which I, of course, personally cannot verify. We are now just discussing, and I have my estimation which actually says that only the WTC area was cordoned off, possibly, not all the lower Manhattan. There is also Jesse Waugh, who did a walk on that morning and who did also a video where he described exactly his path that he took jogging that morning. And he was in, what was the name called of this building? Very close to the WTC. Anyway, so for me, just for my personal speculative estimations, it is important info what Uncle Vigilante is saying.
Exactly. So let him speak, please. Jesus what? Christ.
What is his name?
Oh, I'm done. I've shared what I need to share. It's just like, if you have any other questions about it, I can, but I cannot tell you the name of the deli that was catacorner to the World Trade Center and its address. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm sorry for my
people that were down there working. You digressed off of the point. Please make that point clear for us.
Everybody can Google right now the address for American Express building.
Beyond that, like, I get it. That was just a dumb question to ask. So can you please just elaborate what you were talking about earlier with, you said you had people that you know that were working that day down there?
Yeah, they were part of the exodus that ran across the bridge.
Right. Yeah, so there are a lot of people, thousands of people, like hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even. Over 4 hours.
Yeah. Otherwise, how irrational is it to think that with all of those people down there, that they're all crisis actors and that everybody's going to just lie.
Preposterous.
Yeah. It's not even worth talking about. Now, did they quarantine the area right around 9/11? Or the buildings? I don't know. All I know is that it wasn't, you know, Southern Manhattan.
Yeah, you know? After the explosions, all bets are, yeah, people are going to be getting the hell out of there. Like, you don't have to plead with people to leave. Like, after that first and the second, once the second one hit, all bets are off. Like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Not saying that people didn't flee. Obviously, people weren't sticking around to see what was going to happen next, for the most part. Yeah, you had some people that were filming, you know, from the safety of their loft or wherever the hell they were, or people running while they're filming or taking pictures or media folk. But for the most part, people were going to get the hell out of there.
And well, there are there just
everybody just out because it was bottleneck. Like, lower Manhattan is like a bottleneck. Like, you
how come
want to jump into
how many people died then, Boogeyman, given that it was all bottlenecked and no one could get out? How many people died?
We've been over this. I don't think.
Well, let's go over it again because we've got new data.
Okay, cool.
So what's
you have new data. I've had this data for a long time. It's just,
yeah. So what's your estimate of how many people died?
Probably how many they said died on the SSDI. However many they said died that
day. Just under 3,000.
No, that's not what the SSDI says, right? You said that there was no spike.
Well, it doesn't say, it says no one died on the SSDI. You're talking about.
No, it doesn't say no one died. It does not say no one died. That's a lie.
What does it say then?
Or at worst, I should say. I think maybe 200 and like just under 300 people, which seems like reasonable number. I mean, people trapped above the so-called impact zones. Yeah. So the people trapped in the towers are the ones who perished. Other people that with the first explosion and the second one, everyone got the hell out of Dodge that was able to, right? Like anyone with two pair of legs and, you know, probably got the hell out of there as fast as they could. But it took hours to get everybody out of there because it's a bottleneck.
Well, I know my boss, who I don't have, you know, he's the furthest thing from it conspiracy minded, or he'd be the furthest thing that I think is part of any, even though he's Jewish, that he's part of any kind of you know, brand ball scheme, all of that. And he did go to a funeral. So that's the only thing that I know. He went to a funeral where allegedly that person died in 9/11. But I don't know anything beyond that. I, you know, can't confirm that that person was in a casket. If it was all Sandy Hoax, I have no idea. But my boss sure believes he went to a funeral.
Yeah, yeah. I really want to square this off, right? Because I've been missing out on the drama for the last month or so, been kind of peeking in and stuff as to what's happening. So the problem, Boogeyman, that I think is really like come to fruition here is that this community has really come to somewhat of a conclusion anyway that the footage probably cannot be trusted, right? So that's, let's just say that is like perhaps maybe it's dogma to some extent. So, I mean, what really is, I guess, your opinion on the matter when it comes to, say, the mode of action of disposing of giant 110 story buildings by aeroplane? Is that like a narrative that you think is the narrative? Like,
well, if you've been paying attention, you know that I don't think that they were
real. I haven't. So just explain it.
It'll just give me 20 seconds. Okay.
All right.
Basically, they faked airplane crashes, right? And there were planted witnesses amongst the real crowd to sell that narrative, and they ran with it. I don't think all the footage was fake. I think they manipulated some footage in order to convince you that planes crashed. I don't think planes crashed that day.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's like, so this is the issue that, this is the big issue that I have, right? So someone from my perspective, I think that I've come to a good conclusion that the footage is somewhat, deceptive, probably can't be trusted, right? So it's like, what really is like the difference from what you're saying to most people here? It seems like you have some beef with like,
The difference is I don't think it's all fake, and I don't think that the area was obfuscated with smoke so no one could see the towers and their demise, right? I think that there were people down there that could see it. So that's the difference, is that, yeah, we're both on the 9/11 TV fakery thing as far as the planes, right? Like the plane crashes, they fake those, right?
Right.
And yes, maybe that perhaps there was some fake footage planted in there as well. I'm open to that possibility, but not all of it's fake.
That's fine.
People there to see things.
Right. So like we were talking about Marcus Allen earlier. So, you know, Marcus Allen extends somewhat to 2008, even before that, but probably a bit more relevant 2008 somewhere to 2015. And one of the issues that they had back then was that the little like, what do you call it? Kind of like, what I'm hearing from your position is it's like that you need like all these qualifications to like, to make something happen kind of thing. So like,
I never said any of that. I just explained to you that they've.
No. Hear me out. I'm trying to explain to you like the history as to why people in this community have kind of come to these conclusions, which is that
since it started, before it started, I was around in 2006, 2007.
Okay. What, Fakeologists? You've been here in Fakeologists since then, right? Is that what you're saying?
Fakeologists started in 2012 or something.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that like since this community has started.
Nico Hall, Rosalie Grable, right. Gerard Holmgren, right. Those people. I've been around since then.
Right.
So I know, have to explain the evolution of the community to me.
Okay, all right, fine. Right. So you know the evolution of the community, but this is what's happened since then, which is the Fakeologist community, you know, bind into themselves some some part of Simon Shaq's story has decided that it's like the footage can't be trusted. So there's nothing really that can really be said about that kind of thing. Now, the quibbles
Uncle Vigilani is here, and he just explained to you that that's ridiculous position to take. Sure. So it's not worth talking about. And now we're talking about it.
No, but sure, right? I hear what you're saying, but it's like what the community has like actually like thought about for some time now is that this footage cannot exactly be trusted.
I know that. Why are you telling me that again?
I'm telling you that because it's like that is really the end of it right there. Because it's like when you hear people
say, "Shut it down, the Goyim know, shut it down."
No. But when you have these quibbles about all these extensions of thought that people have, where they say they shut down Lower Manhattan, it's like that is something that cannot be known, in my opinion, right? And I think
there's millions of people down there to tell you that that's not what happened. And that's what Uncle Vigilani is telling you. We have a witness right here telling you that that's bullshit.
Yeah, but
you're telling me it has to be that way because that's what people believe here.
Well, that's dogma.
Yeah. That's horseshit.
Wait. Yeah, you think that no planes hit the towers, right? That is your belief, right?
I don't believe anything. I know they faked it.
Whoa, I know
they faked it.
So now we're getting somewhere, right?
Now we're getting somewhere.
You know what my job, Boogeyman, you know what my job is at the moment? My job is right Catholic. I'm a Catholic.
Why don't we let and
I get to the heart of it.
Let's get to the heart of it.
All right, let's get to the heart of it then, right?
It's the heart of the matter. I love it. Good job, BB. Keep it up.
Right?
Good job, BB.
You don't think planes hit the towers, right?
He says he knows it.
No. I know they fake the plane crashes.
Right, okay. But there's millions of people that say opposite to you, right?
Why can't you just take for what I said for what it's worth? Right? You can't do that because you want to like obfuscate. Like, let's let Uncle Vic talk.
No, this is good. This is good.
This is some solid.
This is some solid stuff, right?
Yeah, this is good. So this is good.
You are in the same position
we
are.
I know they faked the plane crashes, right?
Okay, good. Good. What is the difference really with the evidence that people show you that Southern Manhattan couldn't have been evacuated, right?
The difference is just saying all the pictures are fake too. Like when I post a picture, they say, oh, that's fake. That's the difference between me and those people.
Okay. So we can see some planes going into the towers. That's pretty interesting. Why are those, why is that media any different from the other ones?
That's a funny question. You're asking.
It is a funny one.
You've been here all this time and you're smart.
Man, I'm a Catholic. I get right to the heart of it. I have logic on my side. Bring it on.
Say something?
What the fuck
no,
are
you
talking about?
No, you may not miss him. No, you may not.
Okay.
It melted into the plane Boogie, like a, Boogie, like a,
oh man. Boogeyman is in the interrogation booth.
And it's like, you have to listen real good, right? It's like, what you are saying here is you are splitting hairs, right?
This is funny,
but that's because you're in the interrogation chair, right? So what we are seeing right now is that you want to say.
Yeah, we're going to focus on me. We're not going to focus on 9/11 and the fact that they fucking faked the plane crashes and it doesn't.
Right. That's
like
right,
a cartoon. Right?
Because
like
you're bringing the theory. You're bringing the theory. And I'm trying to figure out exactly where it changes. Because right now, when I'm looking at it and from what I've been
all
hearing,
the pictures aren't
it doesn't
fake.
Change.
People like Ab and Simon Shaq said all the pictures are fake too, but they're not. That's the difference.
Okay. So the pictures of the planes aren't fake, right? Are fake, sorry. But the pictures of everything else is. Right?
Is what?
So what you're saying is the rest of the pictures are real, but the planes are fake pictures. That was the key focus thing that you're trying to.
No,
bring
that's
to the
not
table.
What I said. Anyone can play okay. back. And
no.
Hear what I
that's okay.
Said,
that's okay.
Listening.
Don't get all messy with me. Don't get all messy. So messy. Just what is it? Is it what's the deal with the plane footage then? Is the plane footage fake? No mism.
No
mism.
No
mism. Oi.
No
mism. Boogeyman. Mism because I'm talking
there and
boogeyman.
Has
just relax.
That
just
were down
relax.
There, right?
Got him
relax.
On the ropes. Boogeyman's
on
the
ropes. You got him on the ropes.
This is 2 to 3 months. This is 2 to 3 months of annoyance in Fakeology, right? And you know what? It's good that Boogeyman. It's good that Boogeyman's here.
You are disgusting, guys. You are not disgusting, no. Neither is...
Come on.
After the break, Rick and Roll on.
Hi, this is Heroes.
Purple Play.
So what do now?
I'm really quiet.
The Asarian.
Bioptica.
For science.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Guys, keep it up. And we're back.
No,
Boogeyman in the corner and
BB
in the other corner.
You can go on mute if you want, but I'm now continue to speak until you go on mute. Because I want to say something and I'm not going to leave myself being interrupted.
No. You're interrupting.
What I have to say is the following.
The question is not which media.
I'm going to keep talking, BB, until you shut up. Because you have to listen now.
I don't like your polarization of the discussion.
I don't like being interrupted.
You
are keeping up. Boogeyman all the time on the wall, and you are just repeating all your stupid questions. You are going to listen to me now. Unless you stop talking, I'm not going to stop talking. I have much patience. I don't know what your age is. You have to wait until I have finished. Okay?
Mism, you have talked for ages now. Please put your phone on 5 minute timer and just wait because I have got Boogeyman on the ropes and you're...
You have to be patient. You have to be patient.
You don't got
I ask you once
Howard.
Again to be patient to let me tell my sentence, okay?
Is that right? If this comes through, you are going to wait until I have said what I want to say. I am not leaving you talking over me all the time.
This is not the way a discussion can function. You have to let others talk. Okay.
Mizu,
now, what I
we
want
are not
to say
talking
is,
about the which way smoke is
you
going.
Are putting,
which way
you
smoke
are putting
is going doesn't matter.
Irrelevant questions to Boogeyman.
No,
Mizu,
I'm getting to the heart of the matter right now and you are interrupting.
I am not interrupting. I'm summarizing what the point of the discussion is. The point
all right,
of the discussion
Mizu, you know what? Ask your question.
Are you going to let me speak now, BV?
I'm going to tell you how irrelevant your question is. Go on.
I have no question. I want to say something since 20 minutes and you don't let me speak. And I'm not allowing you to not let me speak.
You
are just interrupting since half an hour now. So let me please say my sentences. No, I'm not. We were discussing and you did not allow me to speak 2 times. And now I want to speak and I'm going to speak.
Go garden
Bibi,
for 5 minutes.
I'm going to tell my 2 sentences, either you want it or not. So please stop now so that we don't have to do this fucking bullshit another 20 minutes. Okay? Let me speak.
Go ahead.
So
the question is not
if the media or some media were trustworthy or not. This is a misleading question and it misrepresents the status of the discussion. The status of the discussion is September Clues says all the footage is fake and it was prepared and aired in pieces on that day, all the day and the following days. So the question is, stop interrupting me. Just be patient until I'm finished. September Clues is saying all the footage is fake and September Clues is wrong on this. In my estimation.
Clues
and the question is now.
Two separate conclusions, Missam.
Sepp, now, continue. Let me finish, please, Boogeyman, because I'm losing my train of thought. So, September Blues is wrong in my estimation. The planes were fake. And now the question that we should discuss is, the planes are fake. All agree on that. All the sequences about planes were fake. And it doesn't matter if it was fake in live stream or fake prepared or fake Ace Baker or fake Simon Shark or whatever. They were faked into the live streams. The real question is now, which parts of the demolition process are real and what conduct of the process of the demolition do we get out of it? Because the real concealing in this PSYOP was the energy source and the energy modus operandi that they used for the demolition. Thank you. You can continue with your bullshit now.
No, come on, you are so irrelevant, Mizum. Like, what I was saying was that we have come to the conclusion that the footage cannot be trusted. That is it, right? Now, if Boogeyman's going to come here and say that the planes were faked, but the rest of the footage isn't, this is old ground. This is like 2015, 2014. We're running over old ground again, right? The footage can't be trusted, even admitted by Boogeyman by the sounds of things, right? Is that right? Like the planes are fake? You there, buddy?
I'm listening.
Yeah, a lot of it can't be trusted.
Right.
So I'm not going to tell you what's to be trusted and what's not. I'm just going to tell you that there were people down there and that they, like, there's pictures available for you to analyze. And they're not all fake. I don't know which, I'm not going to say, 1,134 of these are real, and then 37 of these, this is fake, or, you know, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to tell you that it wasn't blocked off in the way that no one could observe what happened if you were within the vicinity of the towers. And by vicinity, I mean, you can see the motherfuckers from Atlantic City, allegedly. I've never been to Atlantic City. But
yeah, so
but it's people like, had a view of the towers. Okay, that's my point. So don't pigeonhole me.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not, man, trust me, thanks. I'm not like the person who's gonna like just like badmouth anyone. But the argument that you're using can be used against like what you believe, which is that the planes were faked.
I don't believe anything. Stop saying believe. Whoa. There's a difference between knowing and believing.
Okay. What you know that the plane, the footage from the planes, that you know that that is not real footage, the argument that you use against other
the
people.
Key. Have you ever watched Ace Baker's The Key?
Man, come on. I'm addressing your argument right now. Okay. So it's like the argument that you use.
They're composite videos. They inserted the planes into real video.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But it's like, what
do you
about
know
the
that?
Rest of it? Indeed.
You just made an absolute statement. No evidence whatsoever.
The key. Ace Baker has done a fine job of presenting the case with evidence that it was a composite. And that's what September Clues, the gold standard, the conclusion that you're gold
about
standard,
the
Clues
you said he inserted fake planes into a real video.
Composites. September Clues says it was composites. And you promote but that as the best work
we're
since
talking
sliced bread.
About the so, picture boom. Of the building. Now you're not listening. You're filibustering. You're not listening because you're not
September
getting your
Clues.
Way. You are saying that. No, we're talking
September
about you.
Boogie,
man, we're talking about you.
September
you're
Clues says it was composite.
Filibustering. You're putting your fingers in your ears, yelling, la, 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 la. You're not listening to the question.
September Clues.
You're doing what you you're accuse not, others of doing.
You're not reacting to what
that's
I'm
right.
saying, though.
You're
no, no,
accusing
no. Finish
others
it
of
off.
What?
Feel it. And yeah. Seal the deal.
You
seal
just
the deal.
Said,
seal
the
deal.
Right.
Seal the deal. Like all exactly. these little NLP he, words for your
so you are saying,
like,
why
oh,
are you talking over us?
You
why are you being disrespectful?
Thinking,
you don't
right?
like
yeah.
it when people right. talk over you. And now you're talking over others. You're being
yeah. Because what did you do to me last weekend, Ab? What did you do?
Oh, so what? It's okay that you do it, but others can't do it.
Yeah. Now
you have to be consistent with. I'm not mad.
What you did to me last weekend? That's what I'm doing with your views.
You have to stop talking over people because you're the one that points that out. You have many rules. Don't talk over me. Don't put words in my mouth. Don't accuse me of this or that.
I don't
yes,
have any rules.
You are constantly chastising other people on the call for violating. Oh, or you'll say, I'm not repeating just myself. Rewind it 2 minutes. Your list is as long as my arm. You got more rules than the Catholic Church, if I may say so myself, Phoebe. You have so many rules in the Church of Boogie.
Exactly.
Can I seal the deal?
We're not going to talk about
that, baby.
That's their proof.
Boogeyman. All right, Boogeyman. With all,
like, this is a composite. September clue.
That's fair enough.
You won't.
That's all right. With Boogeyman, with all due respect, right? The argument that you're using about composites of planes can easily be used for the rest of the footage. Right. So the conclusion that I think is probably, I think it is the most relevant conclusion.
Yeah, that's your opinion. We already know the
fakeologist.
It's completely wrong, BV, what you said. The same argument with the planes cannot be used for the rest of the footage.
Exactly.
That's just a summary that you do now.
Why not?
It's manipulative. It's neurolinguistic programming style, and I don't like the style you are discussing.
Great.
All right, Mizum. Now the corner's on you, right? So it's like, why not? Why can't it be used in the same frame of reference?
Why? Look, you have to tell us why, not I have to tell you why not. I will tell you.
I'll tell you why then.
There is thousands of hours of footage of the demolition of the buildings, and you have to prove that this is fake. Okay. September clues and clues.
You got to prove it's real.
You
got to prove it's real.
You
got
to prove what you're bullshit.
I have not to prove anything.
That's what you got to fucking prove, guy.
Hey, watch your mouth. There's a lady here.
He called me a nigger,
right? See the lady here?
Bro, he called me a nigger as soon as I get on here, huh?
Oh, my God. You better get on your meds, man. You're getting too worked up.
I don't like if you talk like that, guys, really. Cool down your testosterone. I will say it again. This is a serious discussion. This is not a topic to bullshit around. This is a very important topic. If the full footage, this destroyed the movement in 2008. As soon as Clues Forum 2009, I'm sorry. As soon as Clues Forum popped up.
Well, can I ask you, Missam, can I ask you, what is the significance of what you're trying to suggest? If some of the footage is fake.
Yes, and that all is fake.
Let's ignore that. If some of the footage is fake.
Yes.
And some of it is real, what's the significance of real footage?
Yes, I will tell you. That was a question, guys. I want to answer it. Is that okay? Okay. The significance of the demolition footage is that it is the footage that gives us possible knowledge and clues and info about, first, the energy source that was used, which is a combination probably, and the modus operandi of the demolition. What we know from all, just a minute, I want to, a combination,
what's
the
combination of what?
Combination of energy sources.
We know what are the suspected combinations?
I will tell you what I know. I cannot answer your question, but I will tell you what I know, announce. And please listen, it's important. From the controlled opposition, as you American guys call it, I don't like this term.
Frank is Australian.
From the personalities of the movement, which were probably just presenting partial truths, etc., we know that termite was used. It was just a part of the knowledge that they gave us, No, that there were other guys supposing that they used nuclear stuff, which we know does not exist. There were other guys that said they used space beams or FCS from Nico Haupt with his future combat system, which is stuff that doesn't exist. That's the importance of the footage of the demolition. The importance
okay,
of
so
the
coming
footage.
Back, so let me
let
come
me,
back.
Let me just finish this sentence, please. So I summarize. The importance of the footage of the demolition is that it can give us the important knowledge to improve the knowledge that we can take out of it about what kind of energy and what kind of weaponry and what kind of modus operandi the military, I mean with that, used.
Okay, so I'm going to feed back to you what I think I heard you say.
Mm-hmm. Go. Yes.
I lost you. Lose Frank, did we?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah, you're back.
Okay, so I'll summarize what I think I heard you say.
Okay.
You're saying that it's important to analyze each individual piece of footage because it's going to give us some information about all the different ways that towers have been demolished. But the problem that I have with what you're saying is there's only one that passed the sniff test because you've acknowledged that nuclear weapons don't exist. You've acknowledged that there really was only normal demolition methods available. There is no other alternative source. There can't be any space weapons because there's no space. What are you actually saying? We need to do all this analysis to end up...
You said exactly... Okay, I'm
with
sorry.
With the conclusion that there's nothing to analyze.
Okay, that's the good...
And we
that's
can't verify
point.
The footage.
I would like to give you now my feedback. My feedback says the following in my interpretation of what you said. You are acting exactly as one would act who wants to conceal the energy source that was used.
I'm not trying to conceal anything. I'm just asking you a
don't
very
understand
this question.
Me? Am
excellent.
I talking Chinese?
Excellent point.
I say it again. The sources that we are told either do not exist or they are not of use for this kind of demolition, so there must be a new hypothesis about what energy source was used. Was that understandable?
Only the person brought the buildings down.
No. Don't go to the buildings down and buildings up. The energy that was necessary to take these buildings down was analyzed by physicists all over the world. It has a concrete number. It is some thousands of whatever kilojoules. I don't know the exact parameters because I'm not a physicist. And we now need to have a hypothesis about how this energy was produced. It cannot be nuclear, it cannot be space beams, and it cannot be CDI. Okay? Because the amount of TNT. It cannot be TNT, it cannot be thermite.
Of course it's TNT. And thermite is used to cut for cutting charges. Go watch some demolition videos. Of course it was TNT.
No, it was not.
And of course it was CDI. There's no doubt in my mind it was controlled demolition.
So we know.
Yeah, but you have to prove it.
We know.
No doubt.
Did it
I don't.
Did
you got to prove your idea. I'm
yes,
using
I,
the
I,
most
I,
logical.
Idea.
I'm using the most logical reasoning.
How did you prove that they used the conventional demolition?
I'm not. I haven't proved anything. I'm going with Occam's razor. The simplest and easiest explanation is almost always how it's done.
How come the rubble was only like two, three, four demolitions? Are you going to ignore my question?
Okay,
why was the rubble pile only 3 feet high or 3 stories high?
I don't know how tall the rubble pile is. Do you?
Yeah, we have pictures.
I know what I saw in their videos.
We have pictures.
Yeah, their pictures, and we don't control. We don't trust the media.
So you're gonna ignore what Uncle Vigilante said about a half hour ago? You're gonna ignore that like a caveman?
He didn't see the rubble pile.
Don't caveman me, bro.
He did not see. Don't caveman this. Caveman yourself. Excuse me. He didn't see the rubble pile, and he has no confirmation of anyone who saw any rubble pile. Well, that was
there
his.
There were people down there that would have a view of it, so he confirmed that.
No.
There were people in Lower Manhattan.
You tell me what building had a view of the pile. Go ahead. And you tell me how they concealed the area after the
Battery
fact.
Park.
You can't
Battery
even
Park.
Any of
the area after the
Battery
fact.
Park. Battery Park has a direct view on the area.
Exactly.
All the buildings that are there, all the high-rise buildings.
What high-rise buildings are you talking about? Who is in what building taking a look?
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support. Money.
All right. Hey, so we're back after the break. Wow, what a round of characters we got in the audio chat today. It is Saturday, September 3rd, 2022. We have Boogeyman. We have Mism. We have an ounce of salt per day. We have Bye-Bye. And we got me. And BB would like to ask Mism a question.
Okay. Hey, do you want to go toe-to-toe, Mism? I'll put you on the ropes. Yes?
Still here?
Are you there?
She bailed.
Yeah, you guys are the ones that have like have been delivered devastating blows today. So I mean,
no, Mism is still here. Projecting. Rolo is here.
Yeah,
an ounce of salt is here. An ounce of salt. Do you have any commentary?
I cry uncle when I start cursing at you, but Rolo can call me a nigger to greet me though, right?
That's stop. Good job, stop bringing up old wounds. You got any problems with Rolo? Call Rolo.
Guys, man, you keep
No,
go ahead, Mism.
I can.
I just wanted to say that I was in the kitchen and BB just asked me something. I don't know.
I wanted to put you on the ropes without getting into
what
energy
does it mean?
And
put some
it means I wanna go toe-to-toe and I wanna squeeze out your where your logic train is.
Yeah, you don't want to have a discussion and build. You just want to shit. Just throw shit. It's
I just
childish.
Have the.
Oh, that's
I'm sorry.
No. It's all respectful. All respectful. Like I'm a very respectful person. And
yes, you are.
It's just a very hot topic, BV. I have no problem, and I apologize for my being loud, but I had to come through previously, and I also want to state that I have much patience. I have also much patience for Boogeyman because he's a young person, and I'm an old person, and I know that young people are very passionate, and I appreciate that, you know, because there are too few people that are passionate about 9/11.
Oh, for sure.
And so everything is fine, but we have to find a modus to discuss so that everyone can say what he or she thinks, and we can come to a good hypothesis. So go, please.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm more interested in I don't really want to get into like demolition and that yet. The issue is pertinent to the channel Fakeology. So is it your belief that the planes were a reality on September 11th, Mism?
I just didn't understand the whole sentence. What does that have to do with the channel? With the channel
So the footage, because what Fakeology represents is that footage can be faked.
to put it really bluntly, in a nutshell, footage can be faked.
I'm not sure okay. You're right about that. You know, because okay. Up has a, right. has a 10 point statement which says that the lower Manhattan area was cordoned off.
Okay,
there
all right.
was no people there. It was all smoke and mirrors. All right. So it's not about generally.
No. Well, all right. Let's just take the name of the channel as an example of that. Fakeologists. Like, I think that is ultimately representing what footage is, what footage was on the day of September 11, what other footage is in terms of just media in general. But like, my question is, what do you think of the plane footage? Is the plane footage slamming into the towers as depicted in on the news channels as real?
No, I don't believe that. But now we are speculating.
Right. Hold on. Okay? Whoa. Hold on.
Speculating. Hold on. I'm just saying the correct term. Yeah.
Sure. Please. So it's like, what is the difference with the other footage that does not include planes from the day of September 11? Is there a difference? How can it be told?
It can be told by filmic analysis, by sequencing and by filmic analysis. This was not done yet. Nobody did.
Okay. So when I say, right, like I think I hold the opinion of many people here at Fakeology that the footage cannot be trusted, that's not just including planes. Is that something that you would also have to perhaps agree with begrudgingly?
No, I don't agree with that, because that's an assumption which is of the type of because there is one apple in the garden, there must be an apple tree. Can be an apple tree, but it can also be just an apple that fell down. There is part of the footage.
But we can be explicit. If we thought it could be trusted, it wouldn't need filmic analysis. In what you're saying that it needs analysis, you're automatically saying it's mistrusted.
I have not explained what I mean by filmic analysis. You can differentiate between CGI footage or otherwise faked images by creation, by whatever. There are many types of fakery in images, and in moving images specifically, there has been a tradition of 150 years now of creating those moving images.
Sure. And so with the planes, is without a doubt in your mind, that is the case with the plane footage?
That has been proven.
It
has been proven that the images that were shown to us with, for example, let me remember the name now, the full analysis of the Nodet brothers' filmic representation of the alleged first plane hit on the North Tower was done in 2005. It was much prior to September Clues.
It was not
September Clues that said this 10 or whatever, 3 seconds or whatever, have 1,500 editing points that has been analyzed filmically. I will give you the name afterwards because I have made problems with remembering names.
We're not here to really like nail out reference points and that kind of thing. We're here looking at the logic train of how people think, their epistemology, right? So it's like what you mentioned before. What was the analogy you used about the apple tree? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. Of course.
Okay. What was
it? It was not a name, so I remember it.
No. Well, it bears repeating. I think it was a great analogy. It's a problem in deductive thinking and logic thinking. So what is it? Mm-hmm.
Are you a student of John Le Bon or a teacher of John Le Bon?
No, I'm not. But I'm, but you know, honestly, like, I'm asking you a genuine question.
Okay, right? No, really, but because okay. This is about also the logical fallacies, and I like no. this concept, but
yeah.
I don't
oh,
know.
Okay, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, no. Please, I think on, what you sorry. Brought up, what you yeah. brought up before was a pertinent point, right? And I have a lot of issues with truthers that they see a bad apple and they cast the whole tree as bad fruit. Okay?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? This is a huge yeah. issue. However, we are here at Fakeology, and it has been determined, at least by us and by various other crowds, plane footage yeah. was fake. And people here have issues with the rest of the footage.
Yeah. I know that it right. is, as you said. Yeah, I agree with right. your estimate. Yeah, right. summary.
It was like, a composite.
Right. But it's like, the issue is it's like, why should people be coming so down and hard down on people that think that the footage can't be trusted in general?
I don't have a problem with people that like to believe that. I just have a problem with people that do not allow a discussion about it.
Well, we've allowed discussions for like a month now, I think.
No, I think it's unfair.
What I'm trying to understand, Ms. M, is
it's a composite.
What is the difference between what you're saying and what I'm saying? What is the difference?
You're saying it's fake. We're saying
I'm just asking Ms. M at the moment. You and I have discussed this into oblivion.
I will try to answer it with another analogy, if I may.
So, I'd prefer a direct answer, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's a direct answer, but it's more descriptive in order to get away from the towers and whatever. So let's say we have an event, which is in Athens in 1975, and there is a guy, the American CIA station chief of the American embassy in Athens, who is shot bright daylight, or what is it called exactly? Broad daylight on a street in Athens. And I am saying now, because all terrorism, as I believe actually, because all terrorism is done by intelligence operatives, this guy was not shot. He's alive, and he just was taken away.
Yep,
is that a good assumption?
I'm okay with that, yeah.
Yeah, you could say that. Okay with that? That's possible.
Yeah, it's possible, but we have to look at it exactly and to verify if he died or not. And I will tell you that this work has been done by the Greek movement, and this guy really died. He was really shot.
But he died. Oh, okay.
So I am saying because we know that there were no planes, and because the discussion was big, and still some people or most people believe there were planes actually, but we know that there were no planes. Does that mean that the whole footage of the following 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years that were produced by thousands of media outlets, camera people, and private persons in that area, all is fake? That's not a right.
Yeah, of course not. That's ridiculous.
But the point remains: we don't know which bits. How can we establish?
You're saying that what I'm saying, and just pretend like I'm not.
You're saying, Missim, that we can establish which parts. Can I finish my sentence, please?
So you can just
I'm talking to Mizum.
I'm talking to Mizum,
and I'm still talking to Mizum.
May I make a proposal? Let's give
my question, Mizum.
Partly real, partly
I'm going to compromise with. I just want to ask you a simple question.
Frank. No compromise.
I'm asking you, Mizum.
Let us give Boogeyman 5 minutes to speak.
That you think is going to be brought to life by this analysis? And what bits of film need analysis?
September Clues and American Psyopera prove that we're composites. So it's real and fake at the same time. So good job ignoring what I'm saying. Go ahead. Keep ignoring me.
I'm not ignoring you. You know that. And Frank was just talking to me and he felt interrupted. Please, guys, let us try to be a little bit civilized. Frank, can you please repeat your question? Because I didn't hear the whole sentence.
I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Which parts of film do you think need analysis and why? And what do you think you will gain? What understanding do you think you will gain from this analysis? Let's assume that you're correct and you find some truth in what you're saying. How is that going to affect the outcome of your thinking? In other words, I'm asking you, why should I care?
Okay, good question. You don't have to care. I do.
But I'm just asking you to give me some reasons about why I should care. That's all.
No, I'm saying you don't have to care.
Nobody cares if you care or not.
So please reformulate your question. We want to know why I do care.
Why do you care?
Okay, why I do care. I do care because I want to know, for example, it's only an example because this is a very, very big, actually, story, why I do care. And it has personal parts, political parts, theoretical parts, historical parts, many, many parts. But I will give you just an example. I care because I want to know how exactly they produced these hundreds of thousands of kilojoules that were evaluated by really renowned scientists of Austria and Germany that were needed to destroy these buildings. I'm curious about that point. I want to know what energy source was it. Another point would be I would like to know if September Clues or Clues Forum or Simon Shark or App or whatever are really concealing parts of the story. If they are really gatekeepers, as many people believe. I don't believe anything at the moment. I'm just a scientific mind trying to create my hypothesis, as I said many times. So these are two reasons I gave you.
What is your plan to solve it?
Pardon?
How do you plan to resolve the energy question about what's fake and what analysis do you plan to do?
You can listen to my latest maybe two or three or more audios and you will get some understanding of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, etc. I don't think it's important why I do anything. We are actually more into the discussion of the how and what did happen on 9/11. And this is actually, if you have followed the whole movement of 9/11 opposition and critique and the movement of the peace people, let's say, the anti-war people that did not want to invade Iraq or Afghanistan, and they would prefer to have a more civil and peaceful world without NATO creating wars everywhere, that they need some resources. If you have followed all these discussions the latest 40 years, then you would know that it is important to understand how 9/11 happened and how the controlled opposition works in order to be able to have a better understanding of the world.
Okay, well, I'd like to comment on that, if I may.
Pardon?
Regardless, if we just take the story of the official narrative of what happened on the towers at face value, that it was done by some terrorists and it all happened as they described, then there was no legal basis at all for any further action other than a criminal court case conducted against the supposed perpetrators. Now, my opinion about what happened...
I think you did not read the report. The official report, the 600 pages. Did you read it, Frank?
The 600 pages of the report?
Of the commission report that was published in 2004 or 5, if I remember correctly. Which is the official narrative of this.
Yeah, he probably didn't read that.
Okay, but the point is they went to war before that.
The answers are there. If you don't do research, why are you talking about it?
Just hold on a second.
Exactly.
Hold on a second. You've already made the point that the various governments went to war before that report was published, so it cannot be relevant to what I'm about to say.
Oh, yes, it can be.
Well, hold on. You said it was published when?
2004, I guess.
When did the various governments go to war?
2003.
Yeah, but they were working on it.
Okay, so the point is that before the thing was published, these governments went to war.
Frank.
After the break.
They guided me with psyops.
Psychological operations.
They guided me with psyops.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, so
we're back after the break.
I'm coming back to where I'm at. So we discussed the legal situation is very, very clear that there was no legal case for anyone to declare war on anyone on the basis of the official story that was provided to us about the incident.
Frank.
Now, hold on.
No. I have to answer it because you make assumptions, then you think I agree, and you continue with other assumptions.
I haven't assumed anything, Missam. I just want to complete my statement. I've completed my statement, then by all means. Yeah.
Please complete your statement.
So my view, rightly or wrongly, Missam, is that there was no case, legal or otherwise, and in fact, as far as I understand it, it was blocked by just about every country to declare any war. So the issue, as far as I'm concerned, is that military personnel from the USA, from Australia, from other countries, illegally conducted operations in foreign soil. And at the same time, it was made clear to them by their governments asking them to sign documents acknowledging that they were doing something illegal. Now, the point I would make all over and over again in this situation is that there was no reason for American or Australian men and women to go to that war, and they should have refused. And in my opinion, the entire thing was to deceive the population to undertake hostile acts, which even when the deception, if you just accepted the deception on face value, those acts were still illegal. And so people, men and women, have committed unlawful acts. Okay, I hand the floor back to you.
Yes, I understand your logic. I'm now just, answering with my type of thought. You're saying, in my understanding, that it is actually irrelevant if there were planes or if there were even that, if there are whatever, it were irrelevant. And I don't think, although I agree fully with your statement that all the acts of war were illegal, I think, though, that it is very important that we focus on how these deceptions are constructed, because that's the way how our societies function. They run around with emotions. They are put into shock and awe. They are depressed or put in a high or whatever. And it is very important also for my, of course, kind of thinking to understand or to find out, firstly, how these patterns are implemented and how they keep them over years. That's why, for example, although the plane footage, the alleged of the first hit, was analyzed already in 2003, 4 and 5, September Clues was then the runaway thing which hijacked the old movement, the old anti-war movement, and destroyed it by stating that the whole footage was fake, so that there was no thing that could be attributable. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. So what's exactly what can we do? Excellent. Nothing happened.
Well, so and I'm going to say my statement, please. Sure.
So I am saying, in my interest, and nobody has to share it, I want to understand and to have a good hypothesis about how these narratives were implemented and possibly also by whom. Why not? If I come to the conclusion that Jim Fetzer is a paid agent, okay. Why not? I will state it. I have no such conclusions at the moment. That's for now.
But my sympathy with your view lies, again, in what I've said before. To me, all of these discussions ultimately take people away from realizing, understanding, establishing that they have they weren't fooled into taking actions they shouldn't have taken. Everybody, in my opinion, is responsible for picking up a gun and going and killing someone, if that's what happened.
Yes.
And I am suggesting to you that regardless of what the facts of the case were, what took place in those times and as in subsequent to it, could only have taken place because men, living men and women, picked up their guns and did something that, even if the official narrative was correct, it was illegal. They should not have undertaken those tasks. And I draw the parallel to people being coerced into taking jabs that they did not want to take.
Yes, they you speak about coercion. You see, coercion is one part of this big PSYOP, which is
exactly
the destruction of trust in language, Frank. This concept of controlled opposition, you know, about September Clues or Jim Fetzer or Judy Wood or whatever, we are talking about this because it is important to find out who tells us trustworthy things and who is lying, and who is lying on purpose and who is lying by being paid to lie on purpose. These are very different things.
Sure, but I'm still going to say to you this. Assuming that everybody lied, one thing was absolutely clear, that no lies were told about this one thing. It was illegal to do what was done by the living men and women. That was illegal. No lies were told to them.
That's the higher law that you're referring to.
No, it's
that's not the law that is in the books.
It was not okay for the USA to go and do what they did.
The United States, Frank, after the 9/11 event, the United States of America invoked Article 5 of the NATO alliance. This Article 5 can only be invoked if a country of the alliance has been attacked on its own soil by a third party.
It has to be a foreign.
Let me finish.
It's not a third party. It actually has to be by a country. It has to be by a country.
It has to be by a third party, which is a third country, whatever. It can be also.
And there was no evidence that it was that what would happen on that day.
Don't confuse evidence, law, and legality. You could confuse three concepts.
Okay,
the
so
NATO at the moment, alliance then, is a real concept that is working in reality, and it has rules, and it has its own constitution, and blah blah blah.
So, okay, so miss him. Let me make this deal with you.
I'm suggesting here. Hold on, let me finish.
At least let me finish.
Don't play the same game, Frank. I'm not finished. Let me finish.
I want to say that we clearly disagree about the law here.
We don't disagree. You just don't listen. You don't let me talk. Please listen and let me finish. Okay. I am saying that you confuse a higher law of what is legal or not. It is illegal in the name of God to kill somebody. I agree with you on that, but that's not what it is written in the NATO Constitution. In the NATO Constitution, it is written that you are allowed to kill people if they have attacked you first. Okay, that's a different kind of law.
It's not people that they're allowed to attack. They're allowed to declare war on countries under certain circumstances.
However, the point
I'm going to make here now is we clearly disagree on what this law is, yes? I'm talking about the written legal system. Right? Do you agree that we disagree?
Repeat it, your question, please.
I'm saying that what happened in those times was not lawful or legal or anything. You say
regarding which law?
The laws that were in place at the time that the US and its allies took military action, I am saying to you that they were not lawful, legal, or any of those things.
Yes, but that's not a discussion.
And you are saying that they were lawful or legal.
Frank.
I'm saying they were not. You're saying that they are. Frank, is that correct?
Frank, you are confusing.
You're I'm not confusing anything.
Discussion. Let me explain. Hold on. You are saying the laws are unlawful. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying the laws are unlawful. I'm saying that the rules of the game that were written at the time, that actions took place, right?
Yes. They are unlawful.
They were broken.
No, they were not. They were
Okay, so you agree we disagree?
They were not.
Do you agree we disagree on that point?
When in November or October of 2001, the Patriot Act was implemented in the United States, it was according to the Constitution, according to all the procedures, it was declared as an emergency act. We know actually that it was prepared long before and blah, blah, and all these guys that were written, and New American Century, but the procedures were kept. It's exactly the same as with COVID.
Can I repeat again?
I understood you, Frank.
Do you agree that we disagree on this topic?
No, I don't believe we disagree. No, we don't disagree. You just don't understand a difference that I am
Hold on. So let me repeat it in a slightly different way then. I'm going to suggest to you right now that American men and women that picked up rifles and went to take action in Iraq, etc.
Not American only. There were German, French, Greek, Belgian, English,
Polish, Spanish, Portuguese, all
the NATO countries.
I'm going to suggest to you that those people are liable for prosecution under the law.
No, this must be a law that does not exist. There is no law that you can prosecute them because they did everything correctly according to the laws that are in place. You don't accept that there is a difference between the laws that are in place and the laws that are the higher laws of nature, of God, of humanity, of whatever, ethics, whatever. You are confusing ethics and morality with written law. That's a different discussion, Frank.
I'm not discussing about ethics or any of those things.
I'm trying to get to the point where I'm saying to you that
under the laws, the written laws that existed at the time, the men and women who picked up rifles and committed, if they killed anyone or did anything such as that,
they are criminally liable now, in my opinion, under the laws that exist.
In your opinion, and you're the only one on the whole planet.
You disagree with that. You disagree with that, yes?
I say it's wrong. You don't understand.
Hang on. You disagree with my view that they are criminally liable, though, don't you?
So do you think the Patriot Act is unlawful?
How are they criminally liable? Your opinion is
it's frustrating for me. Do you disagree with me that they are – do you disagree with me that we disagree? I think they are criminally liable.
You are manipulating, Frank. I feel that you manipulate me into the position to be, confessing that
I'm
a young man.
I'm trying to establish.
He's being
illegally differentiated.
He knows better, but he's just trolling. It's ridiculous.
It could be that. I don't think Frank is trolling. Frank has a different kind of thought. He has always God of law. Law of God, I mean.
No,
but it's
completely
not the same.
I want you to
different.
Put aside God's
law.
The law
of God is
can
different
than the law. Can you please put aside the God of, law
the
of God?
Pardon?
Can you please put aside that? I'm just talking about...
How can I put aside that?
Because
You're referring to it all the time.
I'm not referring to it. I'm not referring to it. I am
okay,
not
so why
referring
are they not
to it.
Why have they not been
We're
accused by any court?
I'm saying to you this very clear statement. And I'd
you
like
say
you to repeat
you
it back to me
it
as
is unlawful
I say to
that they went to Afghanistan. Okay, who prosecuted them? Who put them into court? Please tell me one case.
No one has. That, no one
no
has.
One has. Only you do.
But the point remains. So what
it's
I'm
ridiculous,
saying is,
Frank, you're not discussing seriously now. I'm disappointed by you.
Well, I'm disappointed that you will not discuss what the real issue is. The real issue is that those people should be prosecuted.
He's not being sincere.
And you are avoiding the topic.
So you want to prosecute a 90-year-old soldier? And you don't want to prosecute the NATO alliance?
I think it all should be prosecuted. And the point of this discussion is that by focusing on whether the terrorists came back down by some super weapon or some other thing,
you don't
get to the point that the entire thing resulted in illegal actions. That's the point
I'm
making.
You don't differentiate. In my understanding, you apply the same measures of punishment to a 90-year-old soldier of whatever, Belgium or Spain, who went to Afghanistan and maybe killed some people or killed himself. And you apply the same measure to him and to the structure, the political and military and media structure that produces and implements such events as 9/11 and deceives those young men.
Yes,
this is just criminal what you are thinking, Frank.
The
That's
point remains. The point
I don't
remains.
Discuss with you anymore. Your thought is criminal about these young people. Yeah, you have to be prosecuted. In my understanding, because you apply the same moral, responsibility to young men which are deceived into a war and the guys who do the deception. Because
okay,
you don't want to discuss about lawfulness of operations.
Remains,
you just want to discuss about God all the time.
The point remains that they were not deceived into the unlawful
They were
action.
Deceived.
Great
they
point.
Were deceived.
They were not
Great
deceived.
Point.
Into the unlawful
oh,
action.
No, they were not deceived. And all the people who get the injections are not deceived. They are themselves responsible. But only God has the right to say that everyone is responsible.
You, are not
you
listening.
Do not have that right.
You
are
not
God, Frank.
You
have
not
the right to say that about other people. You do not have that right. You are not God.
There was
God.
No circumstance
I'm not talking anymore.
In which the
this
actions of the soldiers that were operating there was lawful.
You can discuss yourself, Frank. I'm not discussing with you anymore.
Okay.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Babette. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah.
How are you?
The trolls
Very well,
was
thank you.
Oh, that was the win, right? Like we put her on the ropes, but all you did was obfuscate and ask ridiculous questions. And we really didn't get anywhere except for prove that you're intellectually dishonest and you turn on it like a switch, on and off switch. So great job, Frank.
I'd like to ask something if it's possible here. I just want to ask you.
Is this 9/11? Is this 9/11 thing? Do you think it's? I don't know. I'm far more. Let's just simply put, I'm far more nervous and anxious about what we're living through, what we've lived through, what we are living through, and what we're facing. I'm not one who didn't research and study and spend many sleepless nights over 9/11, so I'm not a neophyte on the subject. However, I'm wondering, is it because some people are seeking a kinder time when a major event occurred far from their homeland, and of course upset the world, but it didn't, virtually change nothing in their lives. Whereas this, what we're living through now, of course, is destroying everyone's life pretty much, and will continue to do so.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Pepper. Since 2017, I'll consider myself a junior fakeologist. And you're listening to the Fakeologist Show on fakeologist.com.
Did you understand what I was?
I got you, Babette.
Suggesting,
makes sense to me.
You know, a kind of return to something we could discuss deeply and long-windedly, but that is not well in the past, of course, but it is, relatively speaking, quite in the distant past. And there's very little we can do about that now.
Time is an illusion.
I'm just wondering if it isn't some sort of self-protection, you know? I'm going to go back to that.
The same devices that were going on then are going on now. There's a process of coercion.
Yeah.
That's taking place.
Yes, that exactly.
People are required to take responsibility for themselves in the end.
I 100% agree.
So the idea, I think, always is to understand that you're not really coerced if you essentially stand your ground. The people that didn't get jabbed this time around, they're still standing, aren't they? There's no long-term effect.
And it does seem a little silly for those who did not to realize that we are proof positive that what they went through, the jobs they've taken and all the nonsense, that we are still standing strong. So it should be quite obvious to them that they've screwed
it's
up
not
somewhere.
Though. I mean, my own children are still convinced that there is, something out there, some boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't say boogeyman.
Oh, I had to say that deliberately.
But Al, you said that you understood my point. You did? I'm grateful. That's good enough for me.
Yeah,
I do.
I understand your point as well. That doesn't mean necessarily I agree, but I understand.
Well, I might use this quiet moment to log off. I found that to be a very stimulating discussion for me personally. I thought it was a very interesting night.
No. Interesting.
Yeah.
Animated. Yeah, it was animated.
Yeah, it was definitely.
I don't know. Okay.
Worth it to expose some of the psychosis that comes along with auto hoaxing everything and. You know, it just makes you kind of lazy when you just auto hooks and you're not thorough anymore. It just shows that, like you're out of shape in regards to being a real fakeologist. Because to be a real fakeologist, you have to be grounded in reality first in order to determine what's real and what's fake.
So, we don't have any rules to be fakeologists, actually. We just like to come meet here.
Well, that don't tell that to some of your cult members in the Discord, because they certainly think like, oh, why are you here? Like, why are you here? Why are you here? Like, it's just like, you don't believe what we believe. Why are you posting September clues in the chat? September clues explains that. Do you want me to name names, really? Is that what you want?
Yeah. Yes, because you...
To name two people that have done
they
that
don't like September clues posted. What's their logic behind that?
You can go in the chat. Yes, just yesterday evening she was giving me a hard time for posting September clues.
So okay, I'll have to look. Yeah, I was asleep last night.
Right. Yeah, it's right there for
you. And I woke up and rushed right over here.
Yeah. the Patriot Act's still in effect, you know, like these things still affect us, right? Like they can use that card,
yes, the 9/11
card anytime they want, right? So it's not like it's irrelevant to like what's going on right now.
You're right.
I think especially it's September now, so it's worth, sparking up the convo again. Maybe we have some new listeners that may spark them to just go on their own path of research. I know it's a lot harder now, but you can still, you can dig and find some good.
Farce Value is here. Speak of the devil. Hello, Farce.
Of course he is. I'm glad he's back, but I'm glad he's back because I can't stand it. Like,
there's no way you're going to leave.
But there is a way that I'm going to leave. So good night, everybody. Thank you for the time.
Frank, thank you. Thank you for your support. And Frank, I invite you to investigate Epic Cash.
Well, thank
you. Because one thing that I learned from the Epic Cash community is they have a little bot in Telegram that some guy wrote called Epic Tip Bot, and somebody tipped me through this little bot 0.02 epics, which adds up to about half a cent, and there was no transaction fee, which is the part of the whole thing I was most excited about, because it may be a really frictionless way to donate very small amounts of money. So I thought that was really, really interesting. And you could do it by writing out one sentence saying, tip 0.1 fakeologist, and it slides literally a penny into my Epic Tip Bot micro wallet. So it's really powerful, really interesting. And maybe you should look into that.
Good idea.
I love the idea about micropayments, because lots of people would donate, but maybe they think this conversation's worth only about 2 cents. Okay, send 2 cents. And you can easily do it without too much friction. Anyway.
We provide all the friction here.
Oh, yeah. But financially, there was no friction, really.
All right, good night, everybody.
Night.